It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Watch the game again then, Steiny.
Steiny, you're wrong, buddy.
It was wrong.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson this week, and let's head right out to the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. We're joined by Matt Barrows of The Athletic. He covers the San Francisco 49ers. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. I guess I'll just start with, even though I heard Kyle Shanahan post-game talk about playing Brock Purdy, why do you think Kyle Shanahan played Brock Purdy yesterday without any of his weapons?
It's a good question. I think in hindsight, maybe you don't play him. I just don't understand what they got out of it that was so productive. I feel like the risks outweigh any gains, but Purdy's point was that you practice all the time and you get into rhythms, but it's different in a game. And he was talking about the mental clock, and ironically one of the things he wanted to work on was the mental clock about a pass rush and getting hit, which you don't get in practices. They just kind of tag the quarterback or run past the quarterback. So, it's hard to sort of sharpen that. He certainly got, a couple of instances where he had to deal with getting hit by the New Orleans Saints. So I guess it was valuable in that regard. You know, my point is that, he's going to play on Friday in Las Vegas, and he's going to play with a lot of the starters, not every starter, but a lot more than played last night. So to me, that was, that's your warm up. And that, the Saints outing, 11 snaps, 6 pass attempts, 2 completions, a handful of QB hits. I'm not sure that was worth it.
You think that, and we're joined by Matt Barrows of The Athletic, you think it could have had anything to do with the fact that he canceled the joint practices, which I guess if we're to understand Kyle, he thinks those are even more important than the exhibition games.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they needed to sort of replicate that in one way, shape, or form. They did have some good practices amongst themselves last week, and so I think that went towards doing that. But I think you're right. Getting some of those starters into that game, they're going to probably rely on Dominic Pooney at right guard, for example, maybe even as soon as the Jets game in week one. So getting that unit, getting Purdy behind that unit or as much of that unit as you could last night, that was probably valuable to do. Again, I feel like those guys are all going to be playing maybe even a half against the Raiders. So that's the true warm-up for the season. And like I said, maybe the risk of Purdy not having full complement of offensive linemen, the full complement of weaponry, didn't really kind of justify him being in that game.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, Matt. I just thought it was a little perplexing and confusing, specifically with the protection and the offensive line. And it did make me just think about the absence of one Trent Williams. I mean, do you feel like not necessarily this game in a vacuum, but with what else has been going on at practice and kind of their not being as deep up front, you know, does it highlight even more how much they need a guy like Trent Williams? And do you feel like the Niners would be any closer after this game, or do you feel like Trent has more reason to just kind of dig in and ask for whatever he wants after watching that performance?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he has more clout now. I mean, this guy is as well respected as anybody in the NFL, certainly when it comes to offensive linemen. So I don't know if it increases at all. I think the timing of it increases. We're going to be I guess tomorrow would be 1 week from when you have to start making your big roster decisions. They pare the roster down to 53 men on the 27th, and then basically it's 2 weeks from that point until the start of the season. So getting Williams in and getting him enough runway so that he's ready to go. He's ready to play. I mean, Chris Foerster has talked about that since July, is that these guys need to get as many snaps as possible, not just be sharp, but to be conditioned enough to withstand the strain of that first game. You really can't replicate that at all. And he said that first series, the first game, especially for the offensive linemen, is extremely taxing. So I would imagine that's doubly so for somebody like Williams, if he's not getting any preseason games, if he's getting very scant training camp like snaps. So I think that we're starting to get to the bewitching hour as far as when he really needs to get back so that he can have a true warm up for the Jets game on the 9th.
Matt Barrow is joining us on 95.7 The Game. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. So the Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams aren't practicing. One's there, one's not, and it feels like there's been a lot of ups and downs to all this in terms of the situation. But it feels like to me, as an outsider, that there's more optimism now that they will have both these players. And I have no real reason to believe that other than kind of what's coming from the writers and the media. Is that your sense too, or would you say not so fast?
Yeah, I would say the closer we get to the season, the more or the less likely the Steelers would be to want to pull off a trade. Just because, you know, Ayuk would have to get up to speed with their system. He doesn't know their quarterbacks, this, that, and the other. So I would say that diminishes a little bit over time. So, in that way, I think this sort of, continuing in this state of limbo, it's kind of edges it ever so slightly towards the 49ers. But, you know, it's been in this situation for a while now, and they can't find that common ground. And Ayuk seems perfectly prepared to dig in. So I don't know if we eventually reach a state of exasperation where the 49ers, look again at what the Steelers are offering and they pull the trigger. This has been a stalemate for a while now. And I would say that the 49ers argument would be it's been sort of in this realm for, they might be edging it towards the goal line a little bit. But, boy, it's been much more difficult and with little change than they had anticipated.
Matt, what have you gleaned from the first game of the preseason to the second? Where have you seen the most growth from these 49ers, outside of, looking at basically the big name players, outside of taking Purdy away from this? What have you learned from the first two games of preseason watching this team?
I think the wide receiver position has started to take shape a little bit. I think that they drafted Jacob Cowing, who really had a nice game last night, with the thought that he could be their punt returner. He could basically be their 2024 version of Ray McLeod, who was both their return man and sort of the understudy for Debo Samuel, a guy who could come in, take some end-arounds, gadget plays, things like that. the difference is that Cowing is really a burner. And we saw that on that 19-yard end-around in the third quarter. The Saints had that stop dead to right. They had that snuffed out. He was still able to get around the outside and go up the sideline for 19 yards. So, you know, we hadn't seen that from them. This is what the 49ers had projected when they drafted him in the fourth round in April. This last week in practice and then this game was the first time he's really been able to put that onto the field. So I think the 49ers are a little bit more reassured that that plan is still intact and that they can get away with that plan this season. I thought it was a good game for him. I thought it was a good game for a lot of the rookies. It was a big rookie contest. I think the game on Friday, like I said, we'll get more ones. It'll be basically ones and then bottom of the roster guys. This game last night was a lot of second stringers, which meant a lot of rookies playing a lot of snaps. Dominic Pooney looked good for the second straight game. I think they're more reassured with that right guard spot going to him against the Jets. I think that's a really big deal. Pooney just looks very consistent from practice to practice, from game to game. They got some nice snaps out of the other rookie offensive lineman, Jerick Kingston. He was playing left guard for a big chunk of the first half and seemed to be fairly comfortable there. I don't think Kingston figures big into their plans for 2024, but he might for 2025, and this was a step in that direction.
Matt Barrow is joining us on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. He works for The Athletic. He covers the San Francisco 49ers. Let me ask you, because you had said this a few weeks ago on our station about, technically, I guess, Brandon Ayuk is hurt right now. That's why he's not practicing. If they don't come to terms with him in the near future and it extends into the season, what are the options the 49ers have? I mean, do they really think he's hurt? Do they think he's not hurt? Can they make him practice if they don't think he's hurt? Can he say, no, I'm really hurt? I mean, what are the options that both the player and the organization have?
Well, I just said a week from Tuesday, they've got to trim their roster to 53 players. And if he right now he's an active member of this roster. He's not practicing, but he's one of the 90 players. And so they have to make a decision at that point. If he's still there in this limbo situation a week from tomorrow, I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do, but they probably have to keep an extra wide receiver because he's not practicing and he wouldn't be playing in that instance. Now, they are on the record of saying that he reported to camp with neck and back injuries, and they're kind of keeping to that. It's a major wink, wink, nudge, nudge situation, but technically that's true. So it may allow them the wiggle room to put him on an injury list to begin the season. But, they have to start making these decisions pretty soon. And that's at a crucial, position. I mean, in an ideal world, Ricky Pearsall was getting a lot of these Brandon Ayuk snaps. He's gotten very few of those because he's been injured. He might be back at practice this week. Kyle Shanahan wasn't sure. My point being is that they already have some wide receivers that they'd like to keep around, but who might not be all that useful for them to begin the season. Brandon Ayuk just makes that a little bit more murky going into that Jets game.
Well, Matt, the last one I have for you is about BA, because over the last few days there's been a couple of things that have come out. Kyle Shanahan told you guys, number one, on Friday, that he doesn't look at things in terms of a one-year prism. He tries to look at multiple years. There was a report from ESPN that it's really down to the fourth or potentially final year in the deal of whatever Ayuk is supposed to be near the goal line of making. And John Lynch was also quoted last week as saying, I wish I knew what the holdup was with BA. What do you think is the holdup at this point, and what is going to be the, I guess, for lack of a better terms, the reason why they get from the goal line into the end zone and keep this guy at San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. It's that last year of the deal, which when you look at these deals, the last year is always a little bit is interesting. I mean, that's when, you know, the big money comes. That's when teams have really an exit out of the contract. And I thought it was interesting when Deebo Samuel went through this a few years ago that his extension was a three-year deal. And so to me, that's an option. Maybe you make it a three-year deal instead of a four-year deal and allow Brandon Ayuk to get another bite at free agency, you know, before he's 30 years old. Maybe the 49ers capitulate on that. I mean, I think that they want him signed for 4 years. I think the whole grand design here is that he and Brock Purdy are a duo for the next 5 years, keeping in mind that Ayuk still has one more year left on his deal. You know, they match up very well. This is what kind of gives the 49ers optimism about that, about Purdy, about signing Purdy to a long deal. If they have Ayuk signed for another 4 years beyond this one, then they can, you know, just kind of rest assured that he, that they're quarterback that they're trying to sign to an even bigger deal is going to have that wide receiver for the long term, for half a decade at least. So you know, that's why it's critical, and you can see why Brandon Ayuk would be kind of fighting for it to be written a certain way, and you can see why the 49ers are holding firm on how they want that that fourth year drawn up. So here we are. Stay in limbo, but at least it's down to that one item instead of, you know, the contract as a whole.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, and look forward to talking to you all season.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Matt Barrows of The Athletic. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Matt Barrows.
Well, that is something that I don't think we've considered. I think when players are going through contract negotiations, we just assume they want the most years, the most money, and all the rest. You know, maybe there is a, looking back at Debo's deal, there is an option where Brandon Ayuk would actually prefer to have 3 years, mostly guaranteed, and then get to free agency. And the hang-up might be, hey, if you want me for four, that's fine, but I need guaranteed money in that fourth year. Otherwise, just give me three, and then I'll get to free agency before I'm 30 years old and be able to make more money afterwards.
Yeah.
And I understand why the Niners would say, well, we actually want to pair you with Purdy, but that last year's got to be on our terms.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a number of reasons. I could see guaranteed money absolutely has to be a part of it, I would think. I would think that the years are less important than that, but maybe Barrows is right in suggesting that maybe he does only want a three-year deal so he can get the free agency again. So I do think that's obviously worth keeping an eye on. I'm more fascinated by this, by kind of the injury situation. So he's listed as having an injury, and why, if the 49ers know he's not hurt, are they letting him not practice? And to me, the reason is because it's still an act of good faith by the 49ers not to say, you know what, we're going to make you practice. I think they are okay with this until it reaches a certain point, and then we're going to have to find out what the Niners are willing to do and what they're willing to, not necessarily sacrifice Evan, but what they're willing to do to Ayuk to somehow get him in here. I know he's in here. I mean, to get him to practice, because it feels like they're still working with him in a way, but you wonder how long that'll last.
Well, I don't think you can force a player to practice, though. I mean, all right, even though we're D3 athletes, like, if someone comes up to you and says, are you hurt?
Right.
And I say, my hamstring's barking.
Okay.
You can't tell me to get out on the field.
Okay. So at what point is he prepared to say, you know, this injury, you know how backs are, this could go for another 3-4 months?
Yeah, and at that point, then it does become a nuisance. Like, and I think this all started last week when Shanahan was asked about it in reference to the Jalen Ramsey situation in Jacksonville a few years back, and they ended up trading him to the Los Angeles Rams. They just said, no, we're done. Now, they got a haul for him, but the difference is the Jacksonville Jaguars were willing to trade Jalen Ramsey. I do not think that the San Francisco 49ers right now are willing to trade Brandon Ayuk. I don't think they are.
Yeah,
they're in completely different situations.
Yeah, let me play that for our listeners. I'm going to play these back to back. This is asked if there's a point where they'll tell Ayuk he's got to practice.
I mean, I think it has to do with when they have injuries and stuff. So I don't sit there and kind of play that game. That's how the league works right now. I mean, that's how the rules are. You have a hold in, guys usually have something wrong with them, so they can keep doing that. And so I just coach the team.
All right, and then here's a follow-up, more specific.
I want to make sure I understand. Are you saying if there's a hold-in and you force the issue that you would expect like a Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville type of situation where, oh, my back hurts and I'm just not playing?
I'm just saying when you guys call it a hold-in, and I'm not disagreeing with you guys on that, but people say that they're hurt. I think BA's got a sore back right now, and it is what it is.
Don't you think it's weird that everybody kind of knows, but they don't really say it is what it is? Kyle Shanahan knows he's not hurt.
He's been saying that a lot more recently.
It is what it is?
Yeah.
That's a catch-all.
I also think it's because he's a bit frustrated with it. And it's not like he's frustrated. He's, you know, I think Brandon Ayuk's a bad person, or, you know, I don't believe. But I just think from a head coach standpoint, he wants his best wide receiver on the field. You know, he wants to get him ready for the season, and he clearly wants to maximize the Niners' opportunity to win, and that includes Brandon Ayuk. I do think that we're getting to a point where Kyle Shanahan is getting frustrated with his number one wide receiver. And it's a combination of the wink-wink, I'm hurt, but I'm holding in.
Right.
Along with the fact that he's been out there on the practice field, but he's not practicing. I think Kyle Shanahan is an old-school guy, and would prefer that if Ayuk is doing what he's doing to get his contract, that he just simply won't be there. That he just won't make himself publicly an optic. Because that's what we've been talking about. We're talking about Ayuk being on the field but not practicing.
Right.
And that's not something that I'm sure he wants to go to the podium and discuss, because he knows exactly why he's doing it, but he's not going to tell you it. And so what you're going to get is, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I do think it's somewhat interesting that he says, you know, you guys say it's a hold-in. I'm not saying you're wrong, but what he's saying is, the reality is, he's saying he's hurt. He's saying he's hurt, and on some level, we've got to just respect that. My question is, for how long?
I think it's as simple as we can't do anything about it. I'm sure they do respect it, but I also hear Kyle Shanahan essentially saying, we're powerless. I can't make him practice, nor am I going to, but if I really wanted to get his ass on the field, I can't do it. Because if he says he's hurt, then he's hurt.
But don't they have their own trainers and medical staff that could determine at some point he is healthy?
Yeah, but you can say, okay, well, doc says, hey, he's 100%. I don't really see anything. You can just go, I kind of pulled something. I'm not feeling 100%. So I'd feel better if I'm not putting myself in harm's way when I'm in the middle of a contract negotiation.
Well, no, I get all that. I'm just wondering, if Ayuk's prepared, you know, let's say another week goes by, and then another week, and now it's time for the Jets game, and they still don't have a deal nailed down, does that mean Brandon Ayuk is not going to play, but it's ostensibly because of an injury, but we're all going to know it's not really because of an injury?
And that
from the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap. Pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The fear created by that absence is heightened by three possessions yesterday in a preseason game.
Maybe so.
Because you're seeing him without BA.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Matt Barrows just joined us from The Athletic, and he had some good things to say, clearing up the issue of why he thinks Kyle Shanahan played Brock Purdy. And I think it's because he just wanted to get the guy some reps, and he doesn't worry about injuries like us fans do, apparently. 888-957-9570. You want to react to anything that Matt Barrows said, you can jump in. Also, I want to pass along a couple other pieces of news. One involving the Warriors, another involving the San Francisco Giants. What's coming up on The Game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
To Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right. Thanks to Dan Dibley for weighing in.
Crossover coming up at 2.
Yeah.
Or 1:45.
That would be a Guru's nothing to see here.
What? The crossover?
No. Purdy played. Purdy played. Hey, let me tell you something. Join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament. It benefits the Autism Society of the San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 957thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. We were just joined by Matt Barrows. One of the nuggets he dropped, Evan, is he expects the starters to maybe play a half on Friday. A half. Not Robert half. A football half.
That's a three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's more about if they're playing that much football, then either why didn't they play on Sunday, or, you know, why wouldn't they just sit Purdy on Sunday and then play him a full half against the Raiders in his final tune-up game. Again, I'm not saying it's negligent that Brock Purdy played, which is the word that Dan Dibley just came in here and put in my mouth. Thank you, Dibs. The word that I used was confusing because it didn't make sense to me. And I'm sure we'll talk about it in about an hour. But my point is that if one is going to play, I just expect the other starters to play. And it sounds like they're all going to play against the Raiders, which in fact makes me feel more firm in my stance that yesterday was just weird.
Well, Albert in Danville has a theory about why Purdy may have played yesterday. Albert's in Danville. What's going on, Albert? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for your time. First-time caller. Love you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so I'm frustrated, as well. I'm trying to figure this out. I'll knock my head up against the wall. But the reality of it is this. It's entertainment at the end of the day. The fans pay for the tickets. It's quite expensive. Go to the snack shack, you empty out your wallet for a hot dog. I think at the end of the day, it's about entertainment, and the fans came there to see Purdy, even if it's only for 5 minutes, 1 minute, 2 minutes. I guarantee you, if you interview anybody walking to that stadium, interview 100 people, say, hey, guys, thanks so much for coming here. What are you here to do? What are you excited about? We're here to see Purdy play. So that's the bottom line. They're, you know, it's entertainment. And, you know, the fans deserve to see him, even if it doesn't make any sense, because it doesn't make any sense that he was out there. But anyway, that's my two cents, is to please the fans. That's the only thing I can think of.
Appreciate it.
Give them what they want, which is a Super Bowl. I don't think they want a preseason.
There might be something to that. But let me tell you, they may have come for Purdy, but they left thinking Dobbsy. Dobbsy was absolutely just terrific.
Well, I'm sure Goo would have asked me the same question he asked me after the first week one, first preseason game, which was, who do you think the backup quarterback is? Well, now we know.
Do
it's,
we?
It's the pastor. I think it's going to be Dobbs. Oh, yeah, Dibs also think it's going to be Brandon Allen, so we can talk about that,
oh,
too.
Oh. Yeah. Did we get anything right today yet?
No, but he just pissed me off.
Well.
He's good at that.
Yes, he is. At times. He absolutely is.
In fact, he might just be giving it to us because you stuck it to him while he was gone the last 3 days last week.
Just one time.
One time?
One time. Like Hank Stram, one time, one time, one time. Let's matriculate. Hey, a couple pieces of info I want to pass along. Warriors related.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Stein, longtime NBA writer, now has his own Substack, making a killing probably.
You got to get with it.
In order to start a Substack, you need people who will actually pay to read what you're writing.
Well, you know that's what you try and get the blog to bleed into a little paywall, and then the little paywall can become a fat stack called Substack.
Anybody out there want to read me for a subscription? Oh, I'll put my takes out there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll start breaking news on that thing, too.
Well, you got to start giving them nuggets like Mark Stein does. You know, not everything is behind a paywall. There's a couple free ones.
Oh, really?
A couple freebies.
Okay.
You know, everything behind ESPN Plus, some stuff is for free. The Athletic, some stuff is for free. But you can't get the goods until you pay.
All right, here are the two pieces of nuggets that Mark Stein dropped. One is Steph Curry expected to sign his one-year extension at some point before October 22nd. So Steph Curry can be extended for 1 year, 2026-27, for $63 million. And according to Stein, that will get done. That will get done. So we have that to look forward to.
I think you believe that.
I do. Yeah.
No, even before you read it, like you were just more curious why he wouldn't have.
Yeah. And I think he will. And I just think that I do think Curry's just laying low now after the Olympics. He was on the road for 40 days, and now he's probably chilling, getting ready for training camp by resting his body, and he'll deal with this in a little while. Here's the other one. Remember the call made round the world by Joe Lacob when he called the Lakers and Jeannie Buss and asked about the availability of LeBron James? Apparently, it wasn't the Lakers that said, yeah, no chance. No, hang up the phone. It was LeBron James's agent, Rich Paul, who squashed the deal.
So LeBron squashed it.
Rich Paul. Apparently.
Who represents
LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Apparently.
Clutch Sports.
The reason Rich Paul said no chance, is because he didn't think it would look well for LeBron James, who's been in Cleveland, Miami, Cleveland, L.A., and apparently going to another team, his fourth different team. Yeah, he didn't think that would be good for LeBron. And probably LeBron's legacy.
That is a little shocking to me, though, because it's more about the optics of being a team bouncer than trying to actually win a championship.
What's team bouncer?
Or just moving, you know, hopping on and off bandwagons.
I thought you meant bouncer like outside a club.
It also, you could take it as it means that Rich Paul doesn't see the Warriors as a bandwagon to hop on.
I didn't even think of that. I thought it would be, whether you like it or not, Kevin Durant's reputation took a hit when he came to the Warriors. And I think that probably had something to do with Rich Paul saying, you know what? We can't be sending LeBron to the Warriors, because then everybody will think LeBron needs to team up with Steph, and then they'll think less of LeBron, and I'm not having that.
Well, how I read those two pieces of news is, yes, we've seen Steph and LeBron play on the same team for the last time. Unless it's in an all-star game. Like, they're never going to play together. Curry and LeBron will never be on the same team.
Oh.
Thank you.
Take it to the bank.
I mean, hey, seriously, if he's signing a full extension for a year and LeBron is the guy who nixed a potential trade, then why in 3 years would they decide to get together when LeBron's going to be 43 and Steph's going to be 40 years old?
Yeah, I don't see it, Bob. I don't see it at all. If it's not going to happen now or at the trading deadline, you'd figure it's probably not going to happen at all. Hey, Evan, you went to both games this weekend at the Bay Bridge Series, huh?
I did, yeah.
Of course, the A's won on Saturday.
They did, 2-0.
Then they lost on Sunday, 4-2 in extra innings.
Yep.
What was the atmosphere like out at the Oakland Coliseum?
It was a lot of fun.
Sellouts both nights?
No.
Both days?
No, but 32,000 on Sunday at the Coliseum is probably the most people that they will fit in that place until the final home game ever, I think. But, I mean, I'll be at that game too. I just enjoy the atmosphere, and really the entire season, because when opposing fans come to Oakland now, there's this understanding that it's, you know, the last time, and so I do think that they carry some solidarity with A's fans to an extent. But it was just about the atmosphere. People were having fun. It was about the game, and you wanted your team to win. The A's won, the Giants won. You know, that kind of fits with both team seasons. The Giants are about a 500 club, and the A's are below 500, but have been playing better baseball. You know, to me, it wasn't really about the actual players on the field. It was about the fans getting an opportunity to see the final look at what a Bay Area rivalry is.
Yeah, and the Giants now four back of the Atlanta Braves.
Wait. You told me five in the prod room.
Well, it's five because they don't hold the tiebreaker.
Then why'd you say four?
Well, because that's the official number.
Oh, so I was right.
With what?
When I told you they were four back.
Well, practically speaking, it's five.
But literally speaking, it's four.
And the other thing you need to account for, Bonte Hill gave this lesson to Guru. Maybe I need to give it to you. It's all about the loss column. And if you look right now, the Giants have played 126 games. The Braves have played 124 games.
Mm.
6-4.
Carry the two.
Six. Oh, actually, it's not. I'm looking at the wrong team.
Subtract the one.
I'm looking at the wrong team. Five. Three.
Yeah.
They played two more games. So, Braves win a couple games. It could jump to five without the Giants doing anything.
Yeah, and I haven't looked at the Braves' schedule, but I would also need them to tell me how difficult the rest of their schedule is. Because if those two games are, say, against, I don't know, the Dodgers, then I would rather have not had those two games. But if they're playing, say, the Miami Marlins or, I don't know, maybe against the San Francisco Giants, then they probably have a better chance to win those two games.
Well, it looks like this week they're playing Philadelphia and then the Washington Nationals.
Well, yes, but again.
What?
Well, those extra two games are they when the Giants don't play?
Well, I thought maybe today the Giants would have off, but they don't. So they'll catch up at some point.
Yeah, I mean, either way, whether the Giants are four games back or ostensibly five games back, the math really ain't math in form right now.
I'll tell you what. I'm Farhan Zaidi, I try to get something done with Snell right now.
Good luck.
What do you mean?
You don't think he's trying?
I wonder.
Why would Snell sign something right now?
Well, because he's probably going to fade down the stretch after making seven consecutive starts.
I mean, the guys look like Koufax the last month and a half. In fact, I was having a conversation on Saturday with a Giants fan who is looking at, you know, they have the stats on the scoreboard and stuff, and somebody goes, wow, it was on Sunday, Snell's got a 3.8 ERA? That seems kind of high. Hasn't he been pitching well? And I go, well, yeah, his ERA was 11 after 9 starts. The fact that it's below 4 is a miracle. The dude's got a practically sub-1 his last 9 starts. He's been incredible. Blake Snell, at the end of the year, his overall numbers will not look incredibly sexy. But right now, the last, again, month and a half, or since, you know, July 1st, he's pitching better than he pitched last year when he won the Cy Young.
No, he's been absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And now you wonder if he opts out and someone gives him that long-term contract he missed out on last year. We'll see.
There were 2 fun games over the weekend. Competitive games. You know, I think a lot of Bay Area fans just want to see their teams playing some exciting ball. And yesterday, the Giants got that in extra innings. Encarnacion goes deep on the first pitch. Conforto finally does something. Ryan Walker with a gutsy performance over 2 innings. Striking out 3 with the bases loaded to silence the Athletics.
How'd that 9th inning feel to you?
Which one?
When they got it, they got the bases loaded with nobody out. Only down 2.
Oh, well, the bigger... Oh, God. Oh. I mean, the bigger gaffe was in the... I think it was the 7th inning when Blake Snell had the bases loaded. They go 3-0 to Darryl Hernandez. And then the ump just gives him a cookie. Ball 4. By any metric.
Yeah. I have a...
Instead, he calls it a strike. Snell comes back, gets out of the jam, keeps it to a 1-0 game.
You know, I have a friend that listens to the show here and there, and he's a big Bay Area fan. I call him Harry. He always has a lot of advice for Guru that Guru never takes. But he said that pitch that Snell threw in the 7th inning is why he doesn't watch baseball.
Really?
Because just... calling a ball a strike changed that game.
100%.
If that's ball 4, that's a run. They still have the bases loaded. But I'm not a guy who likes to blame the umpires or the officials. You know that.
Well, there was also a throw that changed the game, and that was Yastrzemski gunning down. I forget who got tossed at a third base, but that was a hell of a throw. Late in that game.
It's a great throw.
In fact, I had to do a double take because I didn't know who on the Giants could have made that throw. And I forgot it was Yaz out in right field.
Great throw. He benefited.
Right on the money.
He benefited from being left-handed there. You didn't have to throw across his body.
Well, it depends on how good of an arm you have. I mean, Nate Shearholtz probably would have got that ball out in 0.25 seconds.
What about Patrick Bailey if he were in left field?
Well, Patrick Bailey, he's the only catcher I feel like could throw a sidearm. You know, a lot of guys are ear-to-ear, cheek-to-cheek.
Well, Evan, one of the greatest catchers of all time, Thurman Munson,
mm-hmm.
He used to throw sidearm.
Oh.
He could. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other big play in the series was Helio Ramos hitting one off the sweets in center field. Did you see that?
I did not see that one.
Yeah, he went 450 to dead center. On the left side, it would... Again, the only... giant player that I've seen hit one above the sweets to center field is Bonds. He did it in right, towards the right of the batter's eye.
Okay.
But Ramos, that ball was killed. It was something to behold.
450, huh?
About. All right. 448, but...
All right. We had Matt Barrows on at noon today talking 49ers, and this is the way he answered the question, because it seems like the biggest question that came out of yesterday's game is, why did Purdy play if he was going to be the only starter, essentially, or skill position starter who did play? This is what Matt Barrows said, and keep in mind, he's covered the 49ers for a long time.
It's a good question, and I think in hindsight, maybe you don't play him. I just don't understand what they got out of it that was so productive. I feel like the risks outweigh any gains. But, you know, Purdy's point was that, you know, you practice all the time and you get into rhythms, but it's different in a game. And he was talking about the mental clock. And ironically, one of the things he wanted to work on was the mental clock about a pass rush and getting hit. I guess it was valuable in that regard. You know, my point is that, you know, he's going to play on Friday in Las Vegas, and he's going to play with a lot of the starters. Not every starter, but a lot more than played last night. So, to me, that was, you know, that's your warm-up.
That does make it a little more confounding. If, in fact, he is going to play and had been planning, Kyle Shanahan had been planning to play him on Friday. I get why there's a little confusion there. I do.
Well, let me ask you this. If on Friday, the three big names to me that they didn't play on offense would be Kittle and Debo and Juwan.
Okay.
So let's say all three of those guys are out there, and Josh Dobbs is throwing them the ball. Why? When are they going to be catching footballs during the regular season from Joshua Dobbs?
Right. No, I get it.
To me, it would be the equivalent of that. If Kittle, Debo, and Juwan are out there on Friday for the Raiders and Purdy's not under center, I'm looking at Kyle and I'm confused.
Right.
I'm wondering why they're not catching footballs from the quarterback they're going to be catching footballs from. Conversely, last Sunday, and I get it was three series, I'm wondering why Brock Purdy is not playing behind the offensive line he's going to be playing behind and not throwing footballs to the guy that he is most likely going to be throwing footballs to come week one.
No, I think it's a fair question, and obviously nothing happened to Purdy yesterday in his 11 plays, but according to Matt Barrows, we're going to see a lot of the starters on Friday. It's the last preseason game for the San Francisco 49ers. It's against the Las Vegas Raiders, and then it's 2 weeks essentially from the start of the season. 3 weeks from today, the San Francisco 49ers will play their home opener against the Jets. And will they have Ayuk? Will they have Trent Williams? Who knows? Who knows? What's your guess? Yes or no?
That they'll have both? Yeah, I think both those players will be in uniform for the 49ers.
And both players will have received extensions.
I don't think Trent will receive an extension, but I think remainder of his deal, and the majority of the rest of his deal will be guaranteed, because I think that's what he's after.
Yeah.
And then Ayuk, I am really curious to see, number one, the AAV, but I think more importantly to me now, and that Barrows also highlighted this during our interview, is the amount of years. Because one thing that I thought of immediately when they were going to go through this whole, apparently, saga, there's been 6 months of this, was, okay, well, you know, you just give him what Debo got, which was 3 years. Obviously, the money will be a little bit higher, but you give him 3 years, and that gives him an opportunity to either make himself some more money afterwards, or the 49ers have an out, just like they have an out at the end of the season with Debo Samuel, and then we can go from there. But the fourth year appears to be a hang-up, and I'm not convinced it's just that Brandon Ayuk wants a fourth year, because I do think that the Niners also have reason to want a fourth year if they're going to indeed pair him with Brock Purdy, which they should have wanted to do all along.
Right, right. And that's a point that Matt Barrows emphasized, and that is the 49ers' best-case scenario is to lock up Ayuk and then lock up Brock Purdy, and there you have your tandem for the next 4 or 5 years. We'll see if that happens. We'll see if it doesn't happen. But 49ers' last preseason game is Friday against the Las Vegas Raiders. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll talk more about the 49ers on the other side. Anybody else out there have a little confusion about why Brock Purdy played yesterday? Is there anything about his performance yesterday that may worry you, even though we know he wasn't playing with his guys right next to him? 888-957-9570 is the number. Download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. It's brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. That segment brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.